Why should we follow Jesus? Why do you follow Jesus? Brother Larry began a series of sermons this year following Christ, following Jesus. And if you have your Bibles today, I would encourage you to open them to Mark chapter 5. That'll be the text that I use today. But my question to you before we begin is, where are you at with your walk with your Lord? Are you walking and talking daily? Do you have a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know in your heart of hearts that He is yours and you are His? This is a question that, as we go through our life, that we constantly struggle with because we have so many setbacks. We have so many failures in ourselves as weaknesses in human beings. And yet, God, in His mercy and grace, decides that He has chosen you, His child, because you have chosen His Son, Jesus Christ. He has chosen you to take the message of salvation to everywhere you would go and to everyone who would give you ear. And this message of salvation is such a great message that it boggles the mind when you really think about it. Why would anyone not tell people about what Jesus has done for you? In Mark chapter 5, there are four stories. And we're going to examine these stories and think about our relationship with our Lord. Starting with verse 1, we're going to talk about and listen to the story of a man that had an unclean spirit. He had a demon living in him, and his name was Legion. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and bruising himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. And people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. This is our first story in Mark chapter 5. And it's a sad story. It's a story of a man that probably had been living a life that was not a good life. And had opened himself up to demon possession. And not just one demon had come, but so many had come that the demon actually called his name Legion. Now, a legion in a Roman legion is 5,000 to 7,000 people. I want to let that sink in for a second. 5,000 to 7,000. Now, we don't know if this is true. That's how many demons this man had, but there was 2,000 pigs on that hillside. So we know that there was a lot of demons in this man. Now, this man being demon-possessed, that doesn't mean that he just simply gives his life up to the demon. It means that he is coexisting as a man and being tormented by these fallen angels that we call demons. Jesus had been preaching and teaching for a while now, and he had had such success with the miracles that he performed and teaching and preaching the word of God that people followed him wherever he went. And the reason Jesus came to this place, he says, let's go to the other side of Galilee. Maybe they don't know me there. Because so many people had come that he needed a break. We all grow weary and tired. Your Lord Jesus, he grew weary and he grew tired. He grew tired of the crowd and he grew weary of proclaiming God's word day after day. Weary in not in spirit, but in body. So they get in the boat. And they go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Can you imagine? You need a vacation. Just a 2-day vacation maybe. Just one of those short weekend vacations. You just need something way to just recharge. But you pull your boat into the harbor. And then all hell comes against you. That's exactly what happened to Jesus. What would you do? Would you, as a child of the living God, as a child of the King, would you, wait a minute, I don't really need to deal with you. I'm on vacation. I don't have time, nor do I have the inclination to mess with you demons. You notice what Jesus was doing. He saw this man running toward him, and he was a madman. He was a man possessed, literally. And he was probably screaming and shouting and looking very ferocious. And Jesus immediately perceived, this dude's got a demon in him. And Jesus was saying, come out of him, you unclean spirit, to cast this demon out. But instead, Jesus was regaled by the demon. I know who you are. You're the Son of the Most High God. And I adjure you by God not to make us leave this country. We like it here. What do you have to do with us? Our time has not yet come. You know, every one of the demons that Jesus had that conversation with was always the same conversation. Our time has not yet come. But you know why Jesus did what he did, what this story is? It wasn't because of the demons. It's because he loved the man. He saw a man that had been fallen in life. That he had acted probably in very bad ways, didn't care about himself, didn't care about others, didn't care about God perhaps. But what he did, he had opened himself up to the evil that is constantly around, and it took residence in his body. How often do we have opportunity when we see something that's not quite right to say a prayer, to say a word to a situation? And yet we walk away because we're thinking, people will think I'm nuts if I start talking about Jesus in front of them. How often does God give us opportunity after opportunity to minister to men and women, boys and girls that truly are in need of God's touch? And God has honored you to be the one to touch. And yet we walk away. Jesus shows us that even though he was tired and weary, he would not abandon this man. He didn't know the man. He knew his heart. And yet, he saved him anyway. And you notice what happens? a great miracle occurs, and the people that witness it, they go and they tell other people. And the other people, they want to come. So the people of the towns, they came and they began to look to see what Jesus had done. And the people that were there, the herdsmen, they were telling them, Jesus told this man's demons to come out. And they came out and they went into the pigs, and the pigs ran down the hill and they all drowned. Now, I want you to think about this size herd, 2,000 pigs. That's a big herd of pigs. That's a lot of money. That's just plain and simple. That's a lot of money. That'd be a lot of money today. 2,000 pigs ran down the riverbank and drowned themselves in somebody's farm. What is a man worth? Jesus wasn't caring about those pigs. He wasn't caring about the money that those pigs represented. He was caring about this man that was oppressed by evil. How often do we look and say, you know, I'm not going to get involved in something because that's going to cost some money. That's going to cost me. That's going to cost somebody else. I'm not going to get involved because I don't want to be that person that has to deal with the aftermath. But notice what these people did. They didn't say, you are God. You are the Messiah. Instead, they dropped on their knees and they began to beg Jesus to leave before any other monetary things might go awry for them. We lost a lot of money in these pigs. There's no telling, if you've got such power to command the demons, there's no telling what else might happen. Won't you please leave? And when God comes down and God reveals himself directly to us and to the people that need it most, the people that do not know him, so often the answer is, Lord, we don't care. We don't want to know. Would you please leave? As children of the Most High God, we are commanded by God himself to carry the message to all the world. And yet we find it difficult because we say, my job says that I cannot. Who do you serve? Do you serve men or do you serve God? Our second story is touching. In Mark chapter 5, verse 21, it says, and when Jesus had crossed again, back to the other side, the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be well and live. And he went with him, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. Vacation time is over. Jesus is told to leave the vacation spot that he had hoped it to be, and yet he had saved a man. And he told that man, go and tell everybody how much God loves you, how he's had mercy on you. Go tell them. And the man did. Let me tell you about what Jesus has done for me. He comes back to the other side where all the crowd was at to begin with. And the crowds were still there waiting. And Jesus sees the great crowd. And you know, just being a man, you got to think he's got to heave that sigh of like, here we go. You know how that feels? Here we go. I'm tired, but here we go. And a man comes and pushes his way through the crowd. Jesus steps out of the boat onto probably the shore or possibly a pier or something like that. And Jesus is standing there, hadn't even got out of the boat hardly, when a man has decided, they've seen the boat, Jesus is coming back, and the man has decided, all the doctors have tried to save my daughter, and they say there's no hope. Maybe this Jesus can help. And he decides that he's going to ask Jesus. Now, this man was a ruler of the synagogue. What does that mean? That means that he was a preacher, a teacher. He was a man of standing in the community. He decided who would come and teach and preach in the synagogue. So he was a man of stature and power. Notice what this man did. He came and he fell to his knees. And he looked at his hopeful Savior. I don't know you, Jesus, but I have heard great things. My daughter is sick and is at the point of death. Would you please come and just lay your hands upon her that she might live? That's a father's cry that all fathers can relate to. We would do anything to help our child. But notice what Jesus does. It says, and he went with him. He didn't say, whoa, I'm on vacation. I'm just trying to pass through here. He didn't say, you know, I'm really tired. Let me get something to eat. Let me freshen up a little bit and I'll be along directly. No. There was a need and Jesus met that need. He began to go right then. God doesn't want us, folks, to wait when there's a need. He wants us to act. Always. That's what God desires of every one of us, and he equips us to do that. Even though you may not realize that, even though you may not know that, God gives you the ability to do whatever is called for. If you need power, he will give you power. If you need courage and strength, he will encourage you and he will strengthen you. All he asks is that you simply respond to his call. It's an appointment. It's an appointment. Think about how honored you are that God would give you that appointment. We are honored by God that he deems us worthy. You heard the choir saying, worthy, worthy, Jesus is worthy. He is the only one truly worthy. He is the great I am. But God uses his children on the earth daily as salt and light. Salt how? We're the people that makes this world good. Taste good. Be good. Light how? We shine the light of Christ upon all that we come in contact with. There's something different about that man, about that woman, about that boy, about that girl. I wonder what it is. And it's Jesus. That's what it is. And we need to tell people, it's Jesus. He lives in me. And I'm his. And I love him. He's done great things for me. So Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house. And something happens along the way. You know, Jesus has got to be thinking right now, Lord, I'm tired and Lord, I just want some rest. He's walking. Jairus is up front pushing people out of the way. Get out of the way, get out of the way. The master's coming through. Get out of the way. We got to get to the house. But listen how the story continues to play out. Mark 5:25. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Scripture tells us that after Pentecost, when the disciples began to teach and preach in Jerusalem, that there was many miracles that was being performed by these men that knew Jesus, that was with Jesus. And it got to such a great amount of people knowing this, that the scripture says that as Peter would walk from wherever he was to wherever he was going, and evidently he went the same way every day. Maybe it was back and forth from where he was staying to the temple. We don't know. Doesn't really say. But that people knew he was coming by, and they would bring their sick out so that he might touch them, that he might bless them, that he might heal them. But here's the thing, that even his shadow might just fall on them and they'll be made well. You say to yourself, how foolish that may be. Today you would say, how foolish that is. And yet it is so. I believe what the Bible says. I don't think that it's untruthful. I believe that what it says is the very truth of the matter. And so I believe that when people have faith in God, that God does mighty things for them. I believe that, again, God uses just the knowledge that person knows Jesus. I've tried everything. I'm desperate. Maybe Jesus can help me. I don't know Jesus, but they know Jesus, and I know that they talk about these miracles that they've witnessed. Maybe I can get a miracle from God. That's where it begins, my friends. It begins with people knowing that you are a Christian, that you are a servant of God, that you believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and you seek to serve him with all your heart, and you live your life day by day in that service. And people know, they hear. They talk to one another. They use Twitter. They use Facebook. Sometimes they just pick up the phone. But people will talk to other people and they say, you know, there's this man, his name's Randy Kidder. I don't really know him that well, but I do know that he believes in these miracles that God does. Maybe you should talk to him. This woman had heard about the miracles and she believed strongly enough that all I've got to do is I just got to sneak up in behind him and I just need to touch the hem of his robe and I'll be healed. How foolish that is, isn't it? All I got to do is just touch his clothes. And this disease that I've had for 12 years that the doctors, they don't know how to fix. I've prayed. I'm still got the disease. But this Jesus, I think that he's the one. I believe that if I just touch his clothing, I'll be healed. And so she did, and she was. Hallelujah. That's a hallelujah moment. But she was afraid because Jesus immediately felt that power leave him, and he turned around and said, "Who touched me?" You can imagine that she's like, "Oh, it's on now." Kind of backing off. Let the crowd just kind of, you know, be in front. But Jesus wouldn't give up. He knew that that power went out and he wanted to know who it was. So here she comes. And again, she falls at his feet. She says, "It was me. I've been sick for 12 years, Jesus. No one could help. I'm poor because I've spent all my money on doctors. But I believe that you could heal me. And I wanted to be healed." Did you know that Jesus didn't charge her for anything? He didn't say, "Well, how much did you pay those doctors?" He didn't say anything like that. He says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Go and be healed." In other words, go and stay healed. Don't get sick again. I'm blessing you. Go and you be healed. You know, so often we think about these diseases coming back on us and we're afraid. Jesus doesn't want us to be afraid. He wants us to live a life of victory in him because he is victorious. He's overcome the grave. He's overcome sin. He's overcome death. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. This woman, she believed that Jesus could help, and he did. Our final story concludes with the story of raising the ruler's daughter from the dead. It begins in Mark chapter 5, verse 35. While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered in, he said to them, "Why are you making such a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. Evidently, dying takes a toll on you, and you got to get fed after you get brought back to life. That makes sense to me. Why else would you feed this girl? You notice what Jesus tells the people that already believed that she was dead. She's not dead. She's sleeping. There's a movie called The Princess Bride. And in this movie, there's kind of like this wizard dude that could supposedly bring people back from the dead. And the hero is dead. And he says, you know, there's dead and then there's dead. You know, this guy's just dead. You know, with Jesus, there's just life. You hear what I'm saying, folks? With Jesus, there's just life. There is no death. There is no death in Christ. You've heard Brother Larry say up here many, many, many times that the Christian will never see death. I believe that. I used to wonder about that personally. What would it be like at the point of death? And now I come to understand that Jesus himself says, you will never die. So what's going to happen? Well, my body's going to shut down. It's going to stop and it's going to be dead, what we call dead. But I'll never see it because I'll be gone from this body before that ever happens. I don't know when that's going to take place, but I'll be gone and there'll be a smile on my face because I'll have seen the living God, Jesus Christ. There's going to be a smile on my face. I guarantee it. I'm happy. Can you imagine? The dad has hope. We finally got a hold of this Jesus guy, and we're going to take him to the house, and he's going to lay his hands on my daughter, and she's going to get well, just like everybody else has got well. But they're too late. Jesus had to take time with that woman, and the time has gone. The daughter is dead. Can you imagine the father's heart sinking in his chest? Can you imagine that leap in his throat tightening up? Unbelief that she could possibly be dead. This is what he feared. This is why he went and got Jesus. And Jesus, overhearing that conversation, immediately looked to the dad and says, "Don't fear, only believe." Jesus tells us that today. Don't fear, only believe. Don't be afraid what you see. Believe in me, because what you see is not always what you get. With God, all things are possible. There is nothing impossible for God. And if you're the one he loves the most, if you're precious in his sight, which you are, why would you not believe, even seeing something bad, that something good could come out of it? Jesus is here. Jesus is in you through the Holy Spirit. He raised that girl from the dead. Can you imagine the anticipation? What's going to happen? "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And she did. Can you imagine that grief being turned to joy in an instant? The Bible calls it amazement. We need to be more amazed about what our Lord does and believe that he would do it through you Why? Because you're His. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He is the same Jesus that you read about in Mark. He's the same Jesus today, and He will be the same Jesus forever. So, what does God desire of us? Quit thinking about the things of men and put your mind upon the things of God. Give yourself over wholly to your Lord. Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Jesus and don't look back. Make it that defining moment in your life where you say, Lord, I'm done with me. I want more of you. And that begins that moment where you begin to follow Christ with all your heart. Will there be ups and downs? Yes. Will there be times that you fail? Yes. Those are weaknesses of our flesh. But God forgives. God understands. God picks us up and He dusts us off and He says, keep going. Don't stop. There's more people that need to know me. There's more people that need to know Jesus through you. And finally, be a servant. Jesus says in Mark 10:43-45, whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And to give His life as a ransom for many. So the message today is simple, folks. God is telling you to get up, get out, and get active. That's it. That's it. That's it. Don't be afraid. Put your faith and trust in the Lord. Speak boldly when you have opportunity. There's those appointments that God makes for you almost every day. Don't miss the appointment. That's the message. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that You have given us Your word today and that we have heard this word, Lord, and are able to make a decision in our hearts. I ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that You give us courage to cast off the things that bind us. Cast off, Father, the things that hold us back, wholeheartedly serving You. Bring them to our minds, Lord, that we may confess them to You and be forgiven of them and make a new start today. Father, I thank You that You love us so much. I thank You, Lord, that You give us so many blessings day after day. Jesus, You are worthy. You are worthy of all. All of our praise, all the glory that we can give, and just as You asked to be glorified so that You may glorify Your Father, we ask that You glorify us, that we may glorify You. When those appointment times come, Jesus, I ask that for each of us, help us to recognize that and to make the decision to follow You. These things I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.